Hand me my stick.
That was where I it took me over the edge as far as how good your product was.
Yeah.
When I started using an Imperial Boost midsummer to fall, I saw a huge difference because I did one without and one with.
Man, it is, it's magic in the garden.
Behold, here it comes. King's Mix got slapped, just laid into my lap and said, here, try this out. The guy said you would love it. 3 weeks later, I'm back at the greenhouse. You can keep your Pro Mix. I'm done with it. I'm a King's Mix guy now.
Now I want to talk about how to apply it because that's very important. Yeah, good morning, Northwest Arkansas and all of our friends out there in America. This is the Rockwell Farms Garden Show. My name is Mark.
And I'm Josiah Goss, and you're listening or watching Two Nuts on a Tree. We appreciate you joining in with us. Today we have Adrian with us and Michael. Adrian Morgan and Michael Beck from Royal Gold. We've got some great stuff. You often hear us raving about these guys and their products, their soils that they have, and also their fertilizers. They're all organic, so we'll be getting into that. And if the mic sounds spotty, this is Mark's budget. We
Hey! This is a low budget production right here. Okay. Yeah.
We appreciate you joining in. Why don't we get into time to apply?
That'd be great.
Awesome.
Great music, I love it.
Time to apply. These are things that you should be putting in your garden and applying in your garden or your landscape right now. The first one is five-star fescue. This cool weather is a great time to get this grass seed started. It's a blend of five different seeds. You have your sun mix and your shade mix. Your sun mix has three seeds that germinate in the sun and two that germinate in the shade. So whether you're under a shade tree or a full sun, you're still going to get grass. And then we have the shade mix, which is the opposite of that, with three seeds that germinate in the shade and then two seeds that germinate in the sun. So you are getting grass wherever you spread it, whether you have a
more... What I have in my lawn.
Yes, it's what Mark has in his lawn, and I've spread it in mine. But it's green 12 months out of the year, so it's not like Bermuda going to die out, be brown. It's not a weed. It's going to grow where you plant it. So we really love that grass seed. What we also have, of course, we have the Royal Gold guys with us. It is time to apply your Royal Gold fertilizers, starting with your 555. It's an all-purpose fertilizer, and we'll be able to get into all that here later. And then you have your Grow, your Bloom, and your Imperial Boost. Here at the nursery, we like to use those for different stages of plant growth. So we'll usually start with the Grow, then we'll switch over to the Bloom when we start getting production and want some great fruit and great tasting fruit. And then we kind of use the Imperial Boost as a finisher, but you guys will clear all that up for us here later. Also, time to apply tree and shrub drench. If you've got problems with borers in your tree, or you want to prevent borers from getting in your tree or other insect problems, tree and shrub drench by Fertilome. You apply it one time a year. It's an annual treatment. It's going to keep you from having those problems or resolve the problems that you have in your trees from insects.
Yeah, I'm going to get into that.
Oh, yeah. And that concludes time to apply.
Why did I get a square cup?
So I'm...
All right. Hey, oh, yeah. That's right. Time to apply the... tree and shrub drench. That leads me into, hand me my stick. Yeah. Y'all know what this is? That's a gall, baby. This right here is, you'll find a lot of oak trees, and it's a big problem right now. Someone came in and gave this to me and said, hey, can I use it on the show? What happens is that the female wasp will lay its egg inside the stem of an oak tree, and there's a hormone in it that causes this gall. Now, why is it gall? What happens is that when the eggs hatch, they feed on that gall, and then they come out. That's why you see a bunch of little holes on there.
Wow.
And, yeah, they propagate wasps. So this will be on a lot of oak trees, and everything from this point on, past the gall to the tip of terminal end of the branch, will die. And this will actually kill an oak tree. The entire tree after a while if you don't treat it.
That's so amazing.
The only way that you can treat this is using that tree and shrub drench. And now's the time to do it. When you start to see that green haze on your oak tree, it will take up that chemical imidacloprid throughout the entire tree, and it will not, it won't get rid of the gall this year, but it'll prevent it from new galls forming this year. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I've heard that to be a fungus and all sorts of things. I did not know that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty.
So one question I had, is that wasp a beneficial wasp for the garden, or is it just detrimental to the trees?
Yeah, the parasitic wasp is a totally different wasp.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow.
So this is just like a bad wasp.
Just a pest wasp.
Pest wasp. That's why we kill it. Hey, I had another one before you do yours.
Yeah, yeah.
This person emailed me last year about their maple tree. Every year it would come out and have the gnarly leaves. Their leaves would not grow into a full leaf.
What is that?
One, it was a fungi problem. Mm-hmm. And I told them to treat it just like you would with the peach leaf curl on peaches. Mm-hmm. So I sold them copper fungicide. But I told them you have to spray it when the leaf is in that whorl. See my fist? When it comes out, it's too late. So it was like that. They sprayed the copper fungicide this year. Last year they sprayed it, and their leaves were just wonderful. So every year they're spraying it at that whorl. And so if you have a problem with mangled leaves coming out and your tree not looking well, that copper fungicide is a humdinger.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And Jess, will you put that copper fungicide up on the screen? All right, let's get into the comment section. The comment section is brought to you by you. These are your comments, your questions that you send into the show. Whether you do this, you could go to rockwellfarms.com. You can send us in questions on there, on our website. What you can also do is if you're watching this on YouTube, you can comment down below. We answer those questions. We also do that on Facebook, Instagram, X. And then you can also find us, if you're listening and you're new to the show, you can find us on all those platforms we just talked about, but we're also on Pandora, Spotify, Amazon Music, and a few other ones.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, we're everywhere. Okay, hey, our first one, this is from Kenny. Hi, this might be a dumb question, but I keep hearing heirloom this and heirloom that. First off, not a dumb question. That's a great question. What exactly is heirloom and what's the importance? Thanks. I enjoyed the show. We just went to and saw these guys up at Baker Creek Heirloom Festival.
Yeah.
All right. Look, Michael, y'all are in California. What made you come here to Missouri?
Well, we've got a great partnership with Baker Creek. They've been using our soils for a little over a year now. We've been using a ton of their seeds back home. But they started trying out our product after Adrian stopped in here to the restaurant to get some food one day. And now they've been using our soils and all sorts of their starts. Most of their starts are done in our potting and propagation mix or our planting mix.
Yes.
They're doing all their sweet potatoes, all their veggie starts that they're selling here today, all in our mixes.
Really?
It's fantastic.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Man, you are growing like gangbusters.
It's been amazing. They're having the results, and the people this year are walking through saying, man, the plants are great this year. What are you guys doing different? So it's really awesome to see.
All right. Well, you know what? I am so honored you come into our nursery and doing the podcast so that you could tell our customers and people throughout the nation how to use your soils and what fertilizer and support.
We can't wait, man. We're so excited. We've been having such a great year, and this is just a kickoff to a fantastic spring.
I love you, man. Yeah, you're awesome. It's great.
Awesome.
Their flower festival.
What a timely question.
That was perfect. No kidding. Wow, what a great show they had up there. Heirloom. What is the importance of heirloom? What is heirloom? So heirloom is, just like, you know, the word heirloom. Heirloom is something that's passed down through generations. So we give the type of seeds or vegetables that name because these are open pollinated, first off. So I think that's important to say. These are heirloom varieties are open pollinated. So that means there's no human intervention in the production of new plants or pollination, cross-pollination to get new varieties. And so what's also amazing about heirloom varieties is that you can save the seed. That's where we get passed down through generations like an heirloom. And so you can save those seeds from those plants and continue harvesting them and planting them. And, you know, some of the seeds and plant varieties that we have are all the way from the Mayflower and back beyond. And so That's great because you can save the seed. And you're also going to get, when you plant that seed, you're going to get fruit or the same plant as the parent plant. Rather than, you know, like if you go to the store and buy an apple and plant the seed, you're not going to get the same apple. Kind of the same concept of that. So that's a great question. We love heirloom.
This is actually going to be a two-part series because we have so much material. With these guys joining us and the heirlooms and what to plant, what planting mix and what fertilizer to use. So this is going to be a two-part show. And so Jessica interjects some of the heirlooms that I held up to educate people on what the, which ones are which and so forth. So, yeah, that'd be great.
One really important thing about heirlooms, too, I think that is often overlooked is many of the varieties of all these things that we're growing, blueberries, apples, what have you, are engineered by universities or specific groups, and technically they own and have intellectual property rights on these varieties.
Right.
You look at Monrovia, you look at all these major
Arkansas
players,
Black.
They own those varieties. So technically, legally, you couldn't go in and start propagating 50 million of these things.
Yeah,
and sell them. They
gotcha.
Could come at you.
Yep.
These heirloom are property of the people, property of tradition.
Yeah.
And that's one of the cool things I think about Baker Creek and their whole team is they're not trying to own these varieties or
that is
claim
so important.
Property over them.
Yeah.
But they're trying to spread them, get more ownership of the plant in the hands of the people and less control over university.
That's amazing. Yeah, because if you give power to Fiji, you give power to Starvia kind of deal. So that's awesome. I loved the festival. We had a blast. And you guys actually invited us to come and check out the festival up in Mansfield, Missouri. So if you're listening or watching the show, we highly recommend you looking up Baker. It's rareseed.com and checking out Baker Creek. Their festivals, that was awesome. It was like I was jumping back in time and just great time to enjoy everything there, the plants, the seeds, people.
Boy, I tell you, you want to talk about tulips. Look at this. Wow. You should come by the nursery and take a look at the tulips that Josiah picked out for y'all. Every fall, we sell tulips. And this is what you get right here.
Wow. Oh, this is just so amazing.
Yeah. So one of the things that happened last year at Baker Creek and talking about their heirloom seeds, last year they went all in on the Purple Galaxy tomato. And come to find out, the Purple Galaxy tomato was a GMO tomato. And all their testing that they did last year, they never could determine whether or not it was genetically modified or not. The people who owned the patent on that GMO tomato showed up at their farm with their lawyers and were like, this is going to be a problem. This is our tomato. They, being who they are, destroyed their whole crop, got rid of it. And this was something they were really getting into. They were really proud. Thinking this was going to be something that was going to be new. But just to say, Baker Creek stands by being an heirloom quality seeds.
Wow.
So they just destroyed that whole thing. They had marketing all over the place for that tomato, but just dumped it once
because
they
want to stay true.
They want to stay true to the heirloom seed. And yeah, so it's really interesting. Baker Creek really is a great company. If you've never been out there, I highly recommend, I tell everybody across the United States, come to Baker Creek for one of their festivals. Right. It's so fun.
I want to get into it right now. Why were you guys there? I mean, why were you invited? What's the relationship that you have with Baker Creek? Because I didn't see anybody else but you.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't see anybody else on fertilizer and soil but y'all. And so I want to know the relationship and how that started.
That's a good question.
It's a really amazing relationship. So, a bunch of our team has been fans of Baker Creek for a decade or more, using their seeds. Adrian has a bunch of our soil scientists. All our team loves the Baker Creek seeds and. Adrian was telling me one day, hey, I'm going to stop through Baker Creek and go to their restaurant up there. And I'm like, these are the people we want to align with. We believe in their mission, what they're doing with the plants, preserving, sharing genetics. Get in there, talk to them, give them some product, see what they think. And their team got into starting to plan with the product and just had amazing results. They enjoyed the results. Adrian became fast friends with everybody. He's like half celebrity up there. He's just rolling in.
I kind of have gotten to know everybody at the farm up there in the past, what, 3-4 years that we started working with them. Yeah. And like Michael said, they align with us. We align with them. We have similar outlooks on what we want to accomplish in the gardening community. So, yeah, it just is a great relationship with
us. All right, but you guys aren't the only ones that sell soil and fertilizers.
No.
Okay? I want to know why. Why you? Besides your personality.
It really, it boiled down to the same thing that happened with you guys. Yeah. You guys did a tomato trial.
Yeah.
That tomato trial just crushed everybody else.
Yeah.
And it was just that eye-opening that, wow, you guys are really onto something here. These soils really do grow impressively. And that's really kind of what set them apart. They were pro-mix for years.
Right.
Peat-based. Okay, and they wanted to get away from
into.
They wanted to get away from the peat and more into a more sustainable product, and that's kind of what happened. And us being all organic, they wanted to move more and more into the organic field.
Okay, I love the question why. Why? Well, because Pro-Mix is cheaper. Okay? Why did they convert from their Pro-Mix into your soil mixes? And what soil mixes are they using?
Results are everything, and for them it's so much about propagation. They do a lot, but a lot of it is propagating, testing their seed, verifying their seed, trying to get grow outs to full completion to make sure their varieties are correct.
Yeah.
So they try to side by side in propagation trials, and they're using mostly the potting and propagation mix, which is our blue bag. It's really simple, easy to use. It's a nice fine texture, so it goes into cells really well. Well aerated and lightly amended, so it's going to get seedlings, especially a good 2 to 4 week food source, depending on how much soil they have.
Yeah.
But it's all about results side by side. And that's what they got better results with the potting mix than other products. And it wasn't just germination rates. It was time to maturity for their starts. Yep. They spent less time in the greenhouse getting from seed to a plantable plant ready to go in their cells.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll just talk this way. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. All right, you can have the microphone.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so when you're you're good. I talk too loud anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. So with your with your potting mixes, so it's totally organic, and your we're talking about the propagation mix. So it has good porosity and water holding capacities, but it's totally organic, and therefore you have that microbial growth. Am I correct?
Correct.
That's a part of it. Now, I do want to touch, we're not certified organic on the soils, and neither is Baker Creek with their heirloom seeds. We're all non-GMO, non-chemical.
Right.
But the certified organic scheme is a bit complicated, and so there are some things that are approved organic that you can't do in soils without it. It's a complicated scheme.
I get it. But most people, there's a very, very few amount of people that are very much, I want the OMRI certified. Okay.
Yes.
So you could be organic and you could be non-chemical without being certified.
Without a
correct.
Sticker on the back.
Yeah.
That's where we're
right?
at.
The sticker costs too much. Let's just say it out. Okay. It don't cost too much.
It's
very laborious, laborious. I know that some of your fertilizers are OMRI certified. Am I correct?
Yeah. Those are a little bit more standardized state to state. So that's easier to play with.
But when it comes to potting mixes, the main goal is to have that microbial growth.
100%.
To where your soil is feeding the plant instead of the chemical fertilizers.
Yeah, and you need those beneficial biologicals and not to have been cleansed out, sterilized mediums.
Yeah.
Open the door for pathogens before the good guys can establish themselves. So good biology is the best preventative to any troubles you're going to have in the garden.
Now, listen, I'm a weirdo. I notice dirt. I notice soil. I walked in their greenhouse, and I could look down and noticeably see y'all's dirt. soil.
Our potting soil.
Your potting soil.
The potting soil is in all their seed starting. Greenhouse 3 is their seed starting greenhouse at Baker Creek. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they run, what did Andrew tell us, 6 bags at least a week in their starting seeds in those, 72, 10, 10, 20, 72s?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what they run a lot of.
Okay.
Yeah, cool, that was pretty cool. Hey, I want to carry on here with this comment section. That was really good. I love that rabbit trail. That was awesome. Kayla.
Comments, man.
No, that was great. Absolutely. No, we needed to get into that. That's awesome. This is from Kayla. Hi, I listen to the show every week and learn so much. Questions about hydrangeas. Thank you for listening to the show. We really appreciate you. First off, I have been on the lookout for a hydrangea tree. Do you carry those? Yes. That's the first part of the question.
One's right out there.
Yeah, well, exactly. I planted that one for your wife.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Stay away from my wife.
That's hilarious. And then also, what is your favorite type and easiest to grow hydrangea in shrub or tree form?
We're going to be here all day.
We are going to be here all day. Hydrangea King is back. Hey, hydrangea, my favorite variety or my favorite type is going to be easiest to grow is going to be your panicle or paniculata. It's the same thing, different word. Paniculata or panicle. Those ones, in my are the easiest to grow. They're more sun tolerant. So if you don't have a green thumb, go for paniculata. Definitely. That's like your, you know, the most common one you hear is limelight. Okay. There's more than just limelight. There's
the daddy.
What's that?
Bojangles daddy. The Last Dance series. I like that. Get a little purple, blue in your life.
Absolutely.
Now on panicle, like your Bobo.
Yeah.
Bobo's a really good one. And then you have Quickfire. Quickfire is an awesome one. And then Pinky Winky Prime. That one's a pretty good one. For any of the not green thumb people, those are, in my opinion, the best ones to grow. And so
I'll say in my yard in Oklahoma, I have the oak leaf. Oak leaf hydrangea, native to Oklahoma, works great. Drought tolerant, can handle sun, handle shade. It's just a great plant. I think I've got them all over my property.
It's a huge mama jama.
Yeah, it's a big plant too. It can get huge. Yeah,
it'll get about 12 foot tall.
And then this is yours.
Oh, I got one?
Yep.
Oh, Sandy Harmon. she's our proven winner shrub. She's like queen in the shrubs. Time to make some t-shirts with the show logo. Oh, yeah, she's right.
I'd wear that.
You would, yeah.
Hey, we'll swap shirts, man, because that's cool.
For sure.
All right.
We definitely swap.
All right.
That's awesome. Well, hey, guys, that concludes that concludes our comment section.
Yeah. All right, no more comments.
Okay.
All right, I want to get into the mixes first because that's where you start, the substrate, okay?
Yep.
And then I want to get into the fertilizers. Your King's Mix. Here, a lot of people use the Fertiloam Ultimate Potting Mix. All right, that's been around forever. I want to talk about your King's Mix because it's very versatile. Tell us why people should buy the King's Mix over the Ultimate Potting Mix. I think that's a very good question.
Well, you know, to start, I'll say all of these products work. We're no different than a lot of other people out there and a lot of other brands. All these products work, and they work for different people in different situations, either better or worse. And we aim to make products that work better for more people in more situations. That's the starting point. The primary difference, I would say, is we are a cocoa-based soil product. We focus on cocoa fiber, coconut fiber. It's a byproduct of the food fiber and fuel industry around coconuts, pulling out the oil, pulling out the coconut water we all enjoy so much, textiles for the cocoa fiber mats and like the basket liners, all those things you have at the nursery here. These are all cocoa products. And the pith fiber that we use to make soil is a byproduct of all those industries. So it's a sustainable, renewable resource. Coconuts are falling to the ground every day, where peat is mined out of sensitive wetlands. Mostly,
you've been
up in
there.
Canada. I've been there. I've gone up and I've toured the peat bogs. I've been out in virgin peat bogs, in mined peat bogs, and what they say reclaimed peat bogs. It's crazy. They drain acres and acres and acres. They'll take a 100-acre parcel and cut ditches around it to drain the water out of the wetland, get that water table down, go through clear cut and grind up the top layers of soil. And suck it up with vacuums and then go through and do it again all season long, as long as they can. They just run tillers and rip that top couple inches, let it dry, and then suck it up with vacuums and then go recompress that. So those are our global carbon stores. That's the largest carbon store on the planet, is those peat bogs, where it sunk down and captured carbon for millennia, right? This stuff builds up really slow. These are 1,000-year-old peat bogs or more. And they can strip that down in just a matter of years all the way down to the base level, and it's gone.
So, yeah, it's not a renewable source.
No.
Is that that's what you're saying.
It's not renewable. There's sustainable peat now where they don't mine it down to the base layer. So they'll, you know, take 1,000 years off it, but leave that last little bit. So it will actually regrow into the same basic ecosystem. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to replace the carbon. It's not going to replace that 1,000 years of accumulation. So it's a little bit of a misnomer.
All right. So peat moss is not really a renewable source, and cocoa is.
Yeah, and so we're not saying don't use peat. We're just saying be aware of it.
What are the advantages of using a cocoa base rather than the peat base to the customer?
Well, cocoa lasts longer. It's more sturdy of a material, so it's not going to break down as quickly. Mm-hmm. Peat moss is all cellulose, and it's already from a swamp. It's already broken down under there. So it's going to break down really quick once you get it up into your garden. It's going to start getting finer and finer. You lose air space with those little pieces filling in the gaps. It's going to compress. You're going to have pH swings. You're going to have hydrophobia, where the water runs off the top of your container or the top of your garden bed. We've all seen it.
Okay, so your sphagnum is a lower pH than your cocoa.
Yep, right? Cocoa's very neutral and holds a buffer more effectively.
So your cocoa, I know that peat moss would be around 5.5. And I think your cocoa is a little bit more, is a little higher, 5.5 to 6.5. Am I correct? Because that is the zone. That is the zone for plant material.
It really is. And most of the cocoa comes in right around 7, and then we buffer it down into that, you know, 6.2 range is what we think is the happiest place for most crops that we're trying to grow. You know, and you can always pH up or down, whatever. You know, we have those materials to easily manipulate that if you need to. Mm-hmm. But you have to keep doing it if it's not properly buffered in. The cocoa doesn't require that much, you know, mediation of its pH. It kind of gets to where it is and stays there, which is really nice.
Yeah. All right, cool beans. So anything else you want to say about the King's Mix?
Well, the King's Mix is cool because it's a peat cocoa blend. It's still cocoa-based, mm-hmm. but it's got some peat. Like we said, we're not saying don't use peat.
For your water-holding capacity.
For the water-holding capacity and to balance it. And really, it's for the cocoa curious. People out there who are like, I've been hearing about this cocoa fiber for 10, 15, 20 years now. I don't know how to use it. I don't want the learning curve of changing the way I grow everything. King's Mix, you take it out of the bag. You use it like any peat mix. You get the benefits of the cocoa. You get the long-term stability. But you don't have to change anything. You don't have to learn anything new to use it. Mm-hmm. It's ready to go right out of the bag for you in a more sustainable way. And you're going to get really great results, most likely better than what you're used to.
I'll say the King's Mix, too, has a slight nutrient charge to it, where a lot of these peat-based mixes are completely inert. So that, for me, when I got switched over, I was a ProMix guy. I have a greenhouse in Oklahoma. I ran ProMix. I thought it was the best mix. Behold, here it comes. King's Mix got just laid into my lap and said, here, try this out. The guy said you would love it. 3 weeks later, I'm back at the greenhouse. You can keep your Pro Mix. I'm done with it. I'm a King's Mix guy now. The root growth that I saw in the King's Mix in 3 weeks blew my mind. I've been a gardener for a long time. And once I saw the difference, I was sold. Just like that. I mean, it was a no-brainer. It's just like, this is a better product.
Well, now with the mixes and stuff, now the fertilizers, you know, we trialed your fertilizers.
Yeah.
Okay. And Adrian, so appreciate Adrian because, you know, we as nurserymen, we get a lot of salespeople in here, okay, with a lot of samples. Okay. And so we sample and we test a lot of fertilizers. Would you agree? Yeah, so we test a lot of fertilizers. Well, Adrian, he didn't come in here as a salesperson. He came, well, maybe kind of, but almost like, hey, I've got a cure for cancer, and I've got to tell people about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, I like to tell people I'm a product rep, and so I'm here to encourage and to kind of get people excited about our product.
Yeah.
And to try it.
Yeah,
that's really what I'm here to do. It's just to kind of educate.
Yeah, you came in with the attitude of you dumped all this fertilizer on us, and you said, "I want you to try it." And so, sure enough, we tried it, and
we're so impressed with the results. I mean, it was a stark difference from what we're using. Now, the other thing that I want to add in is the other organic fertilizers we were using, we weren't getting the results we wanted. It's like over time, they just got less valuable. Does that make sense? And we were spending so much on these organic fertilizers, and then have to turn around and keep reapplying. And so we were just going through it and not getting the results we wanted.
Right.
And so the difference for us was night and day, because we were using less fertilizer, less organic fertilizer, and we were getting far better results. And, you know, Mark will say, if you can grow a good tomato plant, you can grow most anything. Yep. And that's true. And so, because there's a lot of problems, there's a lot of things that can occur with having a tomato plant. And so if you can master that, you could get anything. So just the fact that it covered that, we started using it in all of our so we have a test garden in the back. We've started using that in everything. I even use it on fruit trees. Okay. Right, let me rant one more time.
We'll just skip over the planting mix.
Okay. Your structure's no good for me. But I started using it and planting our fruit trees in the back. And just these little 7-gallon fruit trees that we first get in to the next fall, these things were 8-9 foot tall. I mean, it just a huge difference just by me throwing some in the hole before planting.
Yeah.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Well, let's just get into the fertilizers then.
Okay.
All right. So we were pretty gung-ho over your initial fertilizer, the 322.
Yeah.
That grow.
Yeah. All right. Which is awesome. Now, you just came out with your 555.
Yes.
The general all-purpose. Tell us about that and why you came out with the 555.
Well, the 555 is, it's a classic formula. Everybody loves a triple. If you don't really know what you're doing, you just want to feed your plants and you're not sure which plants need what, a 10, 10, 10, 20, 20, 20 chemical fertilizer, they're everywhere. It's a go-to. So we wanted a triple and took it one step further and got that calcium level up at 5. So it's really a quad. It's 5 nitrogen, 5 potassium, 5 phosphorus, and 5% calcium.
Yes.
And that calcium really is a key component.
Yeah, it's extremely important.
Gloss over too hard. It's the gatekeeper of the cell. It allows all the other nutrients to move effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so really you got to have that calcium level, and low calcium is what's going to give you blossom end rot and help encourage powdery mildew, things like that, weak cell wall. So you want to bump that calcium. So the idea of the all-purpose was to give people what they want, which is something that's easy to use on all crops in all situations. Mm-hmm. You look across so many product lines and there's 10, 12, 20 SKUs that it's, oh, well, this is tomato, this is pepper, this is that, this is that. To me, that overcomplicates it. It simplifies it for a gardener who walks in and says, I need to feed my tomatoes. But then they end up with 15 different boxes of fertilizers that are all really very similar. So we wanted to build things based on their phases of growth for all crops. So you can have this little, arsenal of 4 products and feed anything in your garden based on what its needs are at the time.
So you're talking about annuals, perennials, everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything.
It is trees. Across the board general.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
By the way, just for those who are watching or listening, when they're spouting out numbers like 555 or 322, that's your NPK. So that's your basically your percentage of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, 3 main components that you need to grow good, healthy things. So that's what those numbers are if you're new to gardening or new to the show. So just to help y'all out.
Now I want to talk about how to apply it, because that's very important, because we've been in organics and it's interesting. Most people just look at the amount, like 5-pound bag, and the price, which is totally unfair to a lot of the organic producers. On your product, my understanding is you can, on this, first of all, your 555, it is OMRI certified, correct?
Correct. And CDFA.
Yeah.
Which is harder to.
Yeah.
Very difficult organic standard.
Very hard. So, but you can use it as a tea as well. So please explain to people, how much do you, explain to what a tea is, all right? And is it just for a foliar application, or can you use it in the soil? And how much do you use to create that tea? So tell us what a tea is.
Well, teas are the miracle product and the easiest thing you can do at home to get the most out of your products, out of your fertilizers, out of your compost, out of your worm castings. An actively aerated tea is where you take a small amount of your fertilizer and some other microbial inoculants like worm castings or compost,
You only use like a half a tablespoon per gallon, am I right?
Yeah, not too much at all.
Half a tablespoon.
And it's not...
Per gallon.
Yeah.
Per gallon.
Per gallon. So
that's... Yeah.
It's not a ton, and you're not going to have a 5-5-5 liquid from that, but what you're going to do is you're going to grow the biology, and you're going to break down the nutrient that is there with that biology so it's more available. So you're really giving them this cocktail probiotic tea that's going to unleash the capabilities of your soil and your plant to pull up nutrients. It's really going to unlock their potential to reach their genetic prime.
So if I make a tea out of it, it translocates into the foliage of the plant as well.
Yes.
Okay, so I can spray my plant, you know, translocate, so I get an immediate nutrient value into the plant quick, right?
Immediate nutrient value and bacterial value on the surface protecting that plant.
All right, and can I use that tea as well in my soil for quick uptake?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can brew a very concentrated tea with much higher amounts if you want to use it as a fertilizer that you wouldn't want to spray that on your leaves, because really concentrated nutrients of any kind, organic, you know, traditional salt-based, whatever, you can burn. So just make a nice light tea, and you can apply it to foliage and soil alike. Or if you want to get something really concentrated to hit that root zone, you just want to keep that off the foliage.
Now you're talking about 2 tablespoons per gallon.
Yes, exactly. Double, for the soil. Triple,
for the soil.
Quadruple.
Okay.
And I tell people all the time, for houseplants, our 5-5-5, 2 tablespoons in a gallon, shake it up real good and pour that on your houseplants. They will be super happy. Once a month on your houseplants, perfect.
See, that is super good information, because we don't even sell. You, what you're doing is you're competing against Miracle-Gro.
Right.
We don't even sell. Excuse me. We don't even sell Miracle-Gro because it's like the crack cocaine of nature.
Yeah.
All right. That plant just has feeds on the Miracle-Gro only, and once that Miracle-Gro is gone, it has nothing to feed on.
Right.
But if they made a tea, just like you said, for their houseplants and so forth, that will create their microbial growth inside their soil to where their soil is feeding their plant, and they'll have a much healthier plant. And if you have a healthier plant, you will have less disease.
Yeah.
100%.
Right? I'll say this too. A lot of these organic nutrients out there are not just not so concentrated as ours. So a lot of them have a lot of extra fluff in it.
Right.
So there's some of them that are based on, they're like inoculated into peat moss.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real, I'm not going to name any names, but there's some real popular organic blends out there that aren't, they're cheap. These are a little more expensive, but you're getting just concentrated liquid, you know, or not liquid.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more expensive, but it lasts a lot longer.
We used a buttload
way longer.
Yeah.
And the also what's great is if you forget to go out there and feed them again, your plants aren't going to putter out like they're going through withdrawal, like if you're using synthetic, you know, or other organic fertilizers. So it was just, in the long run, we saw way better effect from that, because it just kept continuously feeding your soil, because you're not just feeding the plant, you're making the dirt feed your plant, like you had mentioned earlier. But wow, just a great result and a lot residual, should I say.
One of the cool things that makes that happen is that we worked with scientists from Cal Poly Humboldt to design these products. We did soil sampling. We did tissue sampling.
In California.
Up in California. We spent a couple years growing different crops, testing the plants, testing the soils, really seeing what was being uptaken, what we needed to adjust. But in the end, what we really landed on is we needed a couple different sources of nitrogen, a couple different sources of potassium, of phosphorus. Many of these products out there, they have one of whatever it is to check that box. But it doesn't appeal to the wide range of conditions that your garden's not the same as your garden, Mark, is not the same as Adrian's garden over in Oklahoma or mine in Northern California. So having a variety to create that food spectrum, it appeals to more plants and more biology. So it's going to last longer. It's going to release more evenly and provide a better array of nutrients for the plant.
I also want to ask you about the particle size. Tell us about the particle size of your fertilizer, because others, it's a lot bigger and it takes longer to break down.
Yeah, and you can see that difference, actually. The all-purposes are chunkiest, but the Grow, Bloom, and Boost are micronized down, especially the potassium and phosphorus, because those inorganics typically break down slower. So we ground it down finer, So it'll break down quicker. It'll go into teas more effectively, things like that. But then we left the nitrogen pieces that break down faster, alfalfa, things like that. We left that bigger, so it'll break down a little slower, so we get a more even cadence of release throughout that couple-week period. You're expecting the fertilizer to do its work. It's releasing those nutrients evenly as opposed to all the nitrogen coming out quick, then all the P and K coming out later. It makes it more effective to just feed evenly throughout your cycle, and your plant's getting to eat as it wants throughout its entire life.